Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Weekend Nigeria, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. All right, so we're going to be talking about news that has trended this week in the Nigerian airspace or Nigerian media space. And we, as usual, have with us, Kenny unfortunately has dropped off. I'm sure it's internet connectivity. Shalade Emo, welcome to the program as usual. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Morning. Okay, so let's see whether we can do justice as time always runs away from us. So we have four issues, but we may not be able to take the four. We've just added on an extra one. So let me read what the four issues are so the listeners know what we're discussing today. Oyo court bars DSS Malami from arresting, blocking Sunday Gogo's emails account. Fantastic. Resident doctors on strike nationwide. Is FG being fair? As a human being, I would say no. Tokyo Olympics. Puma cancels 2.7 million sporting kit contract. We said this last week now. Is it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Hush Poppy Gates. Abba Kyari's extradition to the U.S. is requested by FBI. Way forward. And what is going to take center stage for us today is our former president, Babangida, who gave an Arise interview. And I hear that, of course, that is generating a lot of flashback or lashback.
Controversy.
Honestly, because I read it this morning. I saw it on the front page of this day, and I was saying to myself, excuse me, brother, you are very astute economically. You were there, you had the chance, and you had the chance when things were not this bad. You cannot come back and tell me that your government is a saint. How?
The whole thing is generating a lot of, you know, heated debates and controversies across the social media platforms, and very rightly so, you know, because this is about almost 30 years, isn't it? The and all the elections in 1993. So I think I would like to zero in on you know, the annulment of, you know, 1993 June 12 election, which is still considered to be the, you know, fairest and, you know, freest election in the annals of the history of Nigeria. So well, you had your time as Nigeria's head of state, and, you know, for us to, for you to be coming back now after how many years, and, you know, using reasons why you are not election, and you telling the nation not to vote for, you know, particular set of politicians, you know, because of, you know, age and other things, you know, I see former President Babangida has not been fair, you know, personally, you know, to people like, you know, Asiwaju Bola Tinubu and former Vice President Atiku, you know, because the thing is, we've done our time. So, and you now being an elder statesman, you know, you're about to clock your, you're about to join the League of Octogenarians. I think the best thing for him is just to, like, sit back in his Mina mansion, you know, and watch, you know, as things unfold in our body politic, you know. So I don't think he's been fair on this particular set of people, because, you know, you are saying age is not, is no longer on their side. How old is the current president of the United States, Joe Biden, you know, and some other, you know, world leaders?
Joe Biden is, you know, in the 70s.
I think what we need, yes, I think what we need now is experience. You know, because we know the youth are ready, but, you know, I don't think they've got the wherewithal. You know,
I'm not sure I agree with you. I'm not sure I agree with you on the term. Sorry, Kenny, just hold on. I'm not sure that I agree with you, Shola, on the in that line with the experience. What we've had up to date is experience.
I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people in the age bracket, you know, 50 to 60. I'm talking about youth in, you know, in age bracket, you know, 30 to 40.
Look at the world. Look at the countries that are being ruled by people in that age bracket. Look in the world and look at what they're doing. Times have changed. I'm not denouncing that experience doesn't help. But in our Nigerian history, experience has not served us well.
What the question is this? We need to put things in context. What experience are you talking about? Experience is subjective.
It is.
When you say people have experience in what? In terrible governance or in good governance? In a climate that is systemic for order, or a climate that is systemic for disorder and chaos, you must be able to situate it properly. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're going to be saying experience. People who are experienced in what? In how to manipulate, in how to do this or that. So you must put it in context.
Let us face it. It's contextual.
It's subjective at the same time.
I have my reasons for saying that. Because if you look at the crop of, you know, the youth with what's it called to them? They are ready in some sense. But I think we need a potpourri of, you know, the old and the new to come together, you know, to take charge of, you know, the next future that will come after.
The challenge we have is this. We had a head of state that was just about 29, 30. We've had that before in a general Gowon.
Yeah.
And so talk about youthfulness. We've had people who were young who ruled us and ruled us, and they were focused.
So what did they do? What did Gowon do?
Now, I know where you're going.
Yeah.
Now, Gowon would look for an Awolowo and a few other people who were probably older to help him to do certain things. But the fact remains this. When you're talking about having younger people and having older people to whatever, what kind of influence do the older people wield, and what kind of way would they direct people to or tilt them to? You see, we must not be without certain understanding of the fact that our environment has become so bastardized when it comes to governance and leadership that there's no level playing field right now for rightness. Let me use the word rightness. For rightness and what is actually proper, as it were. So in a way, when you talk about having a mix and a mix of young and old and what have you, the truth is this: when you have a child of 7-8 years old telling you that he wants to make money and he wants to do Yahoo, and by 15 he wants to write a C class, it tells you something. So it's not about, forget about age right now. It's about value system. Value or reorientation. Until we begin to do that, whether you bring somebody who is 78 or you bring somebody who is 55 or 62, or 42, it doesn't matter. Value orientation is a major factor. And because we've enthroned the culture of impunity, and that has led us to where we are today. If people know that if I do this, I'm going to pay the price for it, you will find out that people would be careful. Like I said before, if you remember, If there's a traffic somewhere and there's a little way that people can take to face one way and turn to the next turning.
To maneuver.
If somebody does it, somebody braves it and does it, does the cart and does it, and nobody stops that person in front, in 2 minutes, you will see a queue taking that one way. But if the person, because everybody is watching, if that guy gets clamped in front and it gets clamped down and gets arrested and what have you, nobody would do it. But everybody's watching. Let's see if that guy gets through it. The moment he's able to do it, then nothing happens to him. Our problem was when we started servicing the culture of impunity, and we made it a case of nothing happens. Nobody can hold you because you have money, because you can get away with it. But let me tell you something that happened some recently. I was privileged to actually consult somewhere. And it's one of the luxurious environments you can talk about in Lagos or Nigeria. And there I found out something. Somebody actually boasted, a supposed big man boasted, that he'll kill the security guy. And it will cost him more than 4 million naira. that I will kill you and nothing will happen. It will cost me just more than 4 million naira. Which means he was saying that with 4 million naira, he will sort himself.
So get away with it.
And he will get away with the murder. That's all. He said it not because it's not something that is something that was new, because that is what they've been doing. You have somebody, the case will go nowhere. So that is the problem we have. So until we be, and in our politics is the same thing, anything goes. So whether you bring people together from age 20 to whatever together, as long as we have not resolved the fundamentals, we will keep being in the same situation.
So how do we go about doing that now? Shall I go ahead? Sorry.
I think that brings up back to the issue of Babangida granting Arise TV that interview, which has not gone down well with you know the majority of Nigerians.
Mm.
You know, so I personally I don't think it's got the moral latitude or the moral right to delve into our politics at this particular point in time. You know, because you had the opportunity, what did you do? There are so many questions that we should be throwing, you know, back at him because of what we experienced, you know, during his regime.
Yesterday's interview was just
what
just
part of the people that led us to where we are.
Yes, I agree with you. He was part. Yes, I do agree with you on that.
You know,
was it part of the people, or was the major architect? Part of the people. He was a major architect of where we find ourselves today.
Yes, because he kind of disrupted our, you know, democratic process to the extent that, you know, we spent almost about a decade before we could get it, you know, we could get the politics back on, you know, the right path.
Eshola, if you will pardon me, I may not totally agree on that. He did not disrupt. The current president we have today disrupted our democratic life.
Yeah. I don't agree with that. This thing has started before Buhari. Agree with that.
No, you see, the issue is this. I will always say one thing, which I've also heard before. Mm. The problem we have today as a nation
Kenny, we can't hear you any longer.
Mm. Hello?
I can't hear Kenny any longer. I think we've lost him.
Let me just jump on his line of thought. I think he was trying to say something about the present administration, but you know, we still have to go back to, you know, the former president Ibrahim Babangida, you know, saying, you know, all sorts during the interview. Well, I said earlier, I think at this particular point in time, he should just sit back and be watching things from his Mina Mansion. He doesn't have to delve with or join issues with anybody on democratic experience or democratic process as it were now. You know, because the people are kind of disillusioned, they are disenchanted, you know, with the system, with everything at this particular point in time. And, you know, for him to now come out of the blue because, you know, you're about to join the League of Octogenarians and you're telling us this, that. I think Nigerians are tired of all these, older generation telling them, you know, what to do, even though they, you know, they had their time to fix the country and they didn't do it.
Mm.
You know, I don't think it's fair. And for you now to be telling us who to vote for, the characteristic or the what to look for, you know, in the person that's going to take reins of power from President Buhari in 2023, I think it's not been fair, if you ask me.
Hmm.
You know, because do you want us to vote for, you know, somebody which you do not like now, and you come from, you like one platform was saying that, you know, if he likes, you should just castigate them, do anything to Bola Tinubu or Atiku, that we are going to vote for one of them, and he should just come up again and acknowledge, you know, joking. You know, so for you at this age, you should just, you know, play an observer role, if you like, you know, just sit back there. You could talk about the way everything is that's degenerated in Nigeria, and talk about the fact that, you know, our orientation is kind of lopsided. Then how do we, you know, do a kind of social reengineering, you know, that we, you know, take Nigeria back to the right path.
You know,
so basically that's what, you know, somebody like himself should be doing, you know, or should be talking about at this particular point in time. Not for you to come out when, you know, the country is tense and people have not forgotten what you did in 1993 and not in the fairest and, it, you know, that the election has been judged as, you know, fairest in the political history of Nigeria. You know, if he hadn't annulled that election, I'm sure we wouldn't be where we are today, you know, as a nation state. You know, it's rather unfortunate, you know, because Nigeria has not had the right, you know, the crop of leaders that we should have as a country. It's very sad. It's very sad. So that's my take on the whole thing. You know, because let me say this. If he likes it or not, the whole thing is still going to haunt him. You know, if the thing will still continue, you know, his decision to annul the election, you know, in 2023 will still, you know, haunt him, because everybody knows that, you know, that was just a very callous act. Very callous. You know, remember, you know, Abiola King Gibe ticket was a Muslim ticket, and yes, people didn't even care about that.
Mostly, fully, you know, Muslim. We just saw change. We saw people with integrity. We saw people who had the love of the nation and the people at heart, and we were ready to go. We take a risk with them.
Yes, and their popularity cut across the six geopolitical zones. You know, everybody,
especially
loved
MKOs,
them. Everybody loved the team.
Yes.
Yes, especially MKO, and you know, he was ready to fix Nigeria, and everybody knew that, you know, this guy is just going to do something that would, you know, change Nigeria overnight drastically, you know, and you just deny the whole country of, you know, getting that team, you know. I think it's not fair of him to come now and be telling us all these things that he said.
Yeah, like you said, he's hitting 80, so I guess he feels like and this is similar to Obasanjo as well, who with all due respect also starts to say all sorts of things in hindsight, and I'm thinking, guys, you were there now.
Yes, you were there, you know. Even Obasanjo himself, you know, was there. He has military head of state, then came back 1999 as a, you know, civilian president. So there are so many questions that we should be asking them. And, you know, to go back to what I was saying earlier about the readiness of, you know, of our youth to take reins of power from these people. Well, I was talking about, you know, age brackets, you know, 30 to 40. I don't think they're ready.
We're ready. I think we underestimate them. They're very ready. If anything, NSAS was a proof of that, and majority of them were under 30. We're very ready. We need to be dynamic, and the leaders have shown us that they are not dynamic. They do not want to move from where they were, not where they are, where they were.
If I can butt in again, I think the NSAS that you brought in, you know, is something that we could dwell on for, you know, for another hour. Because, you know, the NSAS protests kind of show their unreadiness, if I should put it that way. Because at a point, the federal government was ready to dialogue with you, but
the federal
government ready.
Was
they were
never
just,
ready to dialogue. Shola, let's be truthful.
No.
Federal government was never ready to dialogue.
No. At the point, the federal government.
When was the point?
National Assembly. Who are ready to
when was the point public, when it's when it garnered international you know, acclaim so you, let's you, be factual
you know the thing is not the word let me rephrase that. Not all of them, you know. I think a majority of them are not ready, you know. We still have about really 10-20%.
Okay,
of,
readiness
of
in what in of, what area now?
You see, politics is, especially Nigerian politics, is different. Our politics is totally different from what, you know, the kind of politics being practiced, you know, in the West, on the Western world. You know, so you need to, you know, dip your head into the nitty-gritty of Nigerian politics. before you could come out and say you want to become a Nigerian politician.
Let's look at the crop of people that have won chairmanship of local government areas in most areas of Lagos now. If you look at the crop of people, let's even go back to 4 years ago when Banky W was running. Banky W has been working in the environment in his locality for years before he even decided he was going to come and run for this. Right? He's the one who opened my eyes to the amount of data that is readily available if we just ask. Do you understand? So he knew that he could not come in with, I'm a youth, I can do this, I can do this. He knew that he had to go inside to find out how it worked. And he started from the grassroots. So he also used his popularity. He used sense. What happened in Nigeria is that the people that he thought, the Nigerians that he thought, will come out and bandy with him did not. That had nothing to do with politics and how politics is run. That had everything to do with us as the Nigerian people who are shouting for change. Banky would have done a phenomenal job in Etiosa local government area, for sure. But we were still high up in our horses and we do not discuss politics. We do not and see what happened.
You see, if we keep saying, you know, dwell on this point,
we won't finish
we might be here for 1 hour. Because the thing is, Nigeria politics is so complex to the extent that it might take you a year or two, you know, to study, you know, an older politician.
I don't think it's any different from... We don't even have a political system that runs. It's run by greed. We don't have any structure in our politics now.
The dynamics
now.
of this body politic, you could say that
what's
it's
the
quite
dynamics?
Different.
What's because the dynamics?
You need to factor in so many things.
Just give me one. I don't even need plenty.
Look at our multi ethnicity.
What has that got to do with anything? We're not represented in the House of Reps now,
in
the Senate.
A country with so many languages and so many tribes is different from, you know, a country with, you know, one religion, one tribe, one language.
No country all over the world,
understand?
Aside from maybe the UAE.
It's only India, you know, that it's kind of similar.
No, excuse me, America is as similar as we are. They have a two-party system like we do.
But
different.
Another thing that we could say is that we don't have national ethos. You know, all these countries that you are saying, you know, they have something that really binds them together.
We do. We all want food. We want shelter. We want electricity.
It's only sports. It's only sports that unites Nigeria, especially football. It's only when we are playing international friendlies, that we are in a tournament, international tournament, especially football, that you see Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo, Efik, Kibibio, Ijoma, Tiv coming together as one nation.
I disagree.
Other than that, what is that unifying factor that binds all together?
We all want the same thing. We want a nation that works.
If you go to the UK now, there's something they call their Britishness. Americans, there's something that, you know, binds them together. Even though, you know, they are settlers from, you know, all over the world, they came to that land to settle down. But there's something about this, you know, there's something we call nationality, something that really binds them together as Americans. We don't have it. We don't, and sadly, we have not seen any leader,
I don't know if I agree with you on that, and
bind us together.
I don't know if I agree with you on that, though. We have a unity aside from sports, Shola. I don't agree with you on that.
Until we find ourselves in that mold, we will still be running in circles. You know, because, you know, we have, let's say we have two dominant religions now. But, you know, we have well over 200, you know, languages.
But that is not what is binding. But that is not what is ruling our nation, Shola. Let's be factual. That's not what is ruling our nation. These are the things in the background. They've never been considered.
1993. You know, we just said it. This point will still take back us to 1993. where we, you know, add MKO, King Gibbon ticket. You know, under the arrangement, everybody kind of united. That was the only time.
But that Nigeria was still a minority. It was not any of the other 168 or 198 languages. It was still the Yoruba and the Hausa. So that's what I'm saying, that this is not part of why we are where we are where we are. It's not not like everybody is represented in the House of Representatives or in the government, or it's not. It's always been the dominant ethnicities. So politics in Nigeria has never been about uniting the whole of the ethnicities in Nigeria. It's always been that dominance. So I do not see how that makes us any different from anybody else. We haven't considered any of the other ethnicities from the very beginning, which is very wrong. But that is not what influences our politics at all, in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you just raised a very valid point about, you know, ethnicity. And the thing, this arrangement, I was saying it to you at a forum the other day, that this arrangement will still be the way it is forever, if I could say that. You know, because the thing is, you cannot be from the south-south or from the southwest or southeast, and you want to govern Nigeria, and you won't factor the fact that you have to reach out, you know, to people across the Niger, because they have to deliver. You have to get Kano and Kaduna votes, for God's sake, before you can emerge as the president of Nigeria.
How do we reach out? It's an open secret. It's an open secret. Shala, how do we reach out? Just like the guy who said he will kill a guard and all it will take him is 4 million naira. That's how we reach out. We do not care. That's why is not governing our politics. What governs our politics in Nigeria is greed. Nothing else. If somebody is running for an office or a position, what he's thinking about after he has rallied his godfathers and whoever it is that has funded his campaign is how it's going to give them back that money once he gets in. So he's not thinking about, and we have allowed that for so long, and we forget that we are the numbers. That's why somebody like IBB can come back how many years later and be telling me that his governance and his government was saintly. How in the world do you wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror, and turn around and tell me that your government was a saint?
No, well, the truth here was...
We are giving them the platform to talk.
We give them the platform to talk. Secondly, that question came, and it was a comparison. It was a comparative thing, and it was totally cheeky, very cheeky of General Ramose Babangida, IBB, to then make that kind of statement. Because I watched it, it was very cheeky of him, because it was like, you know what, with what is going on now, we might as well have been saints. Now the question was, he was asked about the corruption in his own time. And he made a comparative analysis. He just gave a comparative statement, rather. That he didn't say that they were not corrupt, but that with what he's seen on ground right today, they could as well have been sent. However, cronyism is a major problem we have. My people, and what have you. And when that is only in Nigeria, basically, that I see that. The further you go towards the desert, the larger the number. It never happens anywhere. And that's an aberration, and that's a fraud. For somebody to tell me that, there are more people in Kaduna and Kano than you have in Lagos or Ibadan, I think it actually still begs for a whole lot of things. Because for me, you can't tell me that with the mass vast land that is totally empty, you then tell me that you have votes coming from there. Borno is a place where people will say, when it's the election, you have votes. But when it comes to a lot of other things, there's nothing to show. So in a way, that is one thing. So like Yemi said, how do we then talk about the divide the across the Niger kind of thing? The fact remains this. As long as you monetize your electoral process, as long as it is not about it's not about merit, but how much people can spend. Then you're going to keep running into this kind of problem. Now, I am privileged to have a House of Rep member who actually came out even just 2 days ago yesterday on the town's platform. And what he said was quite interesting. He painted a picture. Mm. He said there are 33,000 people to vote. And you expect a candidate to give each person 10,000 naira. So that's about 330 million naira. He said, so how do you expect that guy to come out and not want to look for how to recoup his money first? Mm. So he said, until we begin to tell people that it is not you, or it is not about money, but about what people have done and what you can see and the value that people are willing to bring to the table, that is when you can have proper representation, whether in House of Rep, Senate, or governorship, or anything, or local government. Now, to be local government, the electoral the electoral act put a limit to how much can be spent by each category of election. But is that what happens? No. So why are we talking? So when we see, a lot of times we cry foul for what we are all guilty of.
Very true.
Let me give an instance. Something happened. Somebody was made a director of a bank or thereabout, whether in bank or insurance. And the first thing people were going to say was that, oh, now he has opportunity. He should think about his people, how he can bring more people from his hometown to, within that. So, you see, that is the problem we have. It's not just in politics. It's in business. Mm. It's in religious circles. Ask yourself within the religious circles, how many people from the founder GO or the founder bishop that are outside of his own ethnicity that are actually at the topmost level of that religious organization and that are ready or that could actually take over from him when he's out of office, whether in retirement or whatever.
We need objectivity.
So it's actually a major problem we have. And when you I met you talking about ethnicity and what have you, I think the reality on the ground is this: we're not ready as a nation. If you ask me, we're not ready as a nation.
We the people. Yes.
And because even within ourselves, and like I always will say, we are a reflection. The leadership is a reflection of the followership.
Yes, it is.
Because the leadership emerged from the followership. And so if the followership would then decide that, you know what, enough is enough, truly enough is enough, a genuine one, and then we decide that we're going to do something about it, there's just so much the leadership can do. Now, let the children of the soldiers be on the street, and let the man see his own son. Let this other one see his daughter. Let them shoot them.
There you go.
Let us face it.
So
if everybody, seriously, you bring out Mopo, you bring out soldiers, you bring out against the people, and they can see their wives and their children, their own wives and their children, let them shoot them.
Then they would have to be stark raving mad to even do that.
So if that happens, and everybody says, you know what, we are ready, even the guy who was told to go and kill or to go and fight the people on the street will drop his gun and say, you know what, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my wife, I can't do this. So, but because we're not ready, any little thing that we are given, we run, oh, I've got my own share. It's like somebody said rightly, a majority, not everybody, but majority of the people we have today who are like, even freedom fight, so-called fighters and what have you,
human rights,
the social critics and what have you, human rights and what have you, CSOs and what have you, majority, like I said, it's not a blanket thing. 80% are waiting for opportunities to also get there. So most people are saying, you know what, the fight we're fighting is so that at least I can also get there. When I get there, I become the same thing. So it's a major challenge we have to face. So at the end of the day, we're going in circles. And whether we have Yoruba Nation or we have whatever it may be, we will still have to deal with some of these things, even in our own little world. Because at the end of the day, yes, I'm somebody who actually I've come to one thing, and I'm unapologetic about it, that this nation is not working the way it is. I am one person who actually would rather have an unbundled nation. That's the truth. I mean, I hold nobody apology to it that this nation is not working the way it is. But even at that, when you then get back to, it still doesn't stop things anyway, but when you then get back to, okay, fine, you have Oduduwa Republic or Yoruba Nation, you have
we still have to deal with the human beings that we are. You, so, look, there you go.
To deal with but you know what they say?
Exactly. You'll be surprised that... You'll be surprised that Ogun State people will be claiming that, you know, they are superior to...
There
Ogun
you go.
Or Ondo people are the same.
There you go.
You see what... It's human nature. But the issue is this. If only we can have a true federating system.
I don't think that can happen anywhere.
Which is why I said that if we can't have that
remains the mirage under this administration.
Under any administration, Shola, let's be fair.
With the kind of constitution we have. For example, in the UK, they have a federation, they have a United Kingdom, and then you have Britain, you have Wales, you have this. Even at that, Scotland came into that union deliberately. It was them that decided to come into that union. Now they wanted to go, they couldn't, it became a problem. Of course, they had a referendum. Most people said, no, we don't want to leave. So, but the fact remains that there was a referendum.
Mm.
If that referendum, if the majority said we will leave, Scotland will no longer be part of UK as of today.
Yes.
So that was the problem we had. The problem of, let us put a clause in there. Anybody that feels is a federation unit, if you don't feel like you want to stay, you're free to go. Now, if a good federation.
Fantastic. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this time out. Weekend Nigeria, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Yeah. If I die now, I go happy. Say when I did this world, I don't fall in love. Which one you did? Where you did treat me so? I don't beg, I don't do everything, but you tell me, say you need time and you never day with me. Nah, so I buy anywhere I dare go. If you help me see a goal, make you tell I'm I don't go. She don't look at me and so don't back my lord to go. If you help me see a goal, make you tell I'm I don't go. She don't look at me and so don't back my lord to go. Yeah. No be say I don't show how I feel. No be say I don't ever show you say. Say I go marry, cause in you I see my wife, baby, oh, I go take him for bus, I go take him for train, for this place I'm up in stay, oh, if you happy see I go, make you tell him I don't go, she not look me and so, the back man don't go, hey, oh, if you happy see I go, make you tell him I don't go, she not look me and so, the back man don't go.
Administration. So, well.
Hey, whoa, if you have me, see, I go, make you tell lam na ronko jina lukumbiyanso na pak malo duko ewo if you help me see ego make you tell lam na ronko jina lukumbiyanso na pak malo duko ewo if you help me see ego make you tell lam na ronko jina lukumbiyanso na pak malo duko ewo if you help me see ego make you tell lam na ronko jina lukumbiyanso ewo.
Welcome back to Nigeria This Week with Kenny and Shola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio Week in Nigeria, positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. All right, guys. So, like you rightly said at the very beginning, if we talk, we would spend the whole day talking about this issue. So let's move on to the Puma Brouhaha. We did mention this a few weeks ago, I think it was, when we found out that this money had been diverted to somebody's personal account. Alas, Puma, of course, has cancelled the deal. I wonder whether they're going to ask for them to refund this money, because they will not find this money. So, please, what are your views? Shola, let's start with you.
Well, let me start by saying this is not the best time to be a Nigerian. talking about the Puma contract and Olympics and all the shame and everything that, you know, that kind of came the way of Nigeria. You know, and the immediate past sport minister now, Solomon Dalong, was saying yesterday that Ed must roll. And rightly so. Because even if there's a crisis and you as a sports minister knew that, there's a way you could actually have managed it, that there won't be any problem, at least save our face first. And you cannot go back, you know, to the issue of the dodgy contract and, you know, the non-disclosure agreement and what have you, you know. So, and for him not to have, you know, managed the whole thing, you know, with due respect to him, I think he's got a lot to tell Nigerians. And sadly, he has not spoken the word. I have not seen him, you know, issue the press statement or address the press conference.
Yeah, surprising.
We're just left with that.
But that's how we handle issues now. That's how we handle things that blow up in our faces.
Because we don't take responsibility. Sadly, Tokyo Olympics 2020, will remain our poorest outing ever, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, for Nigeria, you know, or for the whole world?
Yeah, talking about not talking about the medals now, but the fact that, you know, a video went viral where a Nigerian athlete was washing his only jersey.
But that's not new now.
What could be more? You are saying that that's
it's not new. This is not the,
That is the height of embarrassment.
No, but here's the thing.
For a country like Nigeria,
this is the thing that has happened. If you go and speak to anybody, any Nigerian athlete, whether it's football, whether it's Olympics, whether it's, I'm even speaking from my own personal experience, going with an association to an exhibition where the people that were coming from the same agency flew first class. We that were going to exhibit, right? We had to do our... We flew, but you don't understand how many stops we made. Meanwhile, we were the ones going to represent the country. I have also been personally shafted by another very big Nigerian agency where they gathered about 30 of us together, wrote a letter to the embassy so that we could get visas. When we got to the British High Commission, guess what? The letters were not written on letter-headed paper. They did not state what we were going to do. They did not state where we were going to stay. They did not state how long we were going to stay there. All of us were denied the visas. And guess what happened? This organization went with the ogas and those that they had handpicked who had nothing to do with the industry we were going to represent and went for the Olympics. This was 2012.
To buttress you, there was a particular game match that the Super Eagles had to play, and those guys cut their trousers to be able to
play. Yeah, I think I remember that.
So what are we talking about? So
it's not new.
Now the challenge here is this. You see. There's just so much begging for question here. Mr. Guso, Alhaji Guso, and Adeleye, with Dynamic Sporting Solution angle to it, is actually a complete sham, a disgrace. And two people, technical advisor and the chairman of AFN, you signed a contract with a global
brand,
sportswear organization, brand, and you put an NDA there, non-disclosure agreement there, clause there, and none of the other board members were privy to the contract of a 2.7 million contract, and then money was paid into a private account.
And there you go again, Nigerians. I do not understand that.
So now at the end of the day,
it's not the best time to be a Nigerian. It's sporting wise.
The challenge is not just sporting wise, in every realm. It's a shame. Now the issue is here is this. The Minister of Sport actually goofed, like Shola said, and I told Shola about this as well. He goofed in the sense that, you see, where I come from, they say even when you have a migraine or cluster headache, to cut off the head is not the solution. Otherwise, you just committed suicide. Okay. Simple. Now, even when you have such, when things happen, my grandmother will say that if we say that we're going to gather the fire or make a bonfire with the size and the length of the snake, we will burn the house alongside. Bejo Bashegun Kolashin Daniel. Now, what he had done, what he did was, he embarrassed himself, he embarrassed the nation, and he should actually, if in a normal climb, in a very sane climb, the Minister of Sports should resign. And everybody in AFN and National Olympic Committee should honorably
Nigerians vote. Don't it's do a shame. That.
No, you know why I'm saying that? Well, because the minister, one, Puma even actually sent the kits. Kits were sent. Now, even if you have internal issues, you have challenges internally that you are trying to solve. Not forgetting that there's already a case at the court against these two fellows that the IG has instituted against them. So now, the issue is, why don't you just sort out Olympics
and
when you come back from the Olympics, then come and deal the matters. But you threw away the baby with the bathwater. Disallowing the use of those whatever. Who's going to use them? Eventually, they'll probably be sold in Ariaria Market and Katangua. If not in some sports and some highbrow sports shops at God knows how much.
Yeah, but something these wives of these they will end up
in sports boutiques all over the place at the end of the day. That's what's going to happen. So now the issue is this. the minister goofed in the sense that administratively he messed it up. And that's not how to be a leader. To be a leader means that you are able to rein in your immediate emotion. You see, the challenge here is this. We, a lot of times we react. We act like rain people. We react, we assume that we know what is right. We insist on our own ways and we negate every other thing by our actions. Instead of responding to things and being a suspending your immediate judgment, be a sun person. A sun grows, sun brings light. You know, suspend your immediate judgment, try to understand the implications of the things that are likely to happen, and help nurture what you can nurture for now. Then when you are done with all of that, come back and deal the matter. But now we are all in disgrace over this. And then they're now saying that AFN is saying that they are not aware of any contract.
Denial.
They said they are not aware of any contract.
As they tell me at the tax office, ignorance is not an excuse for not paying your tax. So they should,
but
please.
But the issue is this: if there's going to be a payback, AFN will pay back whether the money has gone into private account
or not. Of course.
Because the then chairman, the erstwhile chairman, signed on their behalf. Whether it's Okowa that is there now or not, it doesn't matter. There are two factions, Goso faction, Okowa faction, that the minister is recognizing. It doesn't change anything. AFN remains.
Puma doesn't know any faction.
Puma doesn't know faction. Puma doesn't know. As at that time that was signed on, what happened? There was a president of AFN or chairman of AFN, and that was Goso, and he signed on behalf of AFN. That's all that mattered. And the technical advisor. So whether they now see the documents in the office or not doesn't change anything. So you see, that is the problem we have. And then you have the leadership. As I said, everything stems from leadership. So such kind of thing as at now. The president should have called the minister. Even if he's in...
The president should have suspended the minister.
Call him first and demand...
No, like Kenny said, in Sena climbs. The very first day the news broke.
Exactly.
About it.
I saw video recently of one president in Africa. You know, of course, the guy gets his strength. He's not like your Baba here. The guy was beat. He was chasing a minister around in a compound. Yeah, he was chasing him around, boxing him. The man could not, he couldn't lift his hands, of course, against the president. But the president was beating him. That, you know, he said he embezzled certain money. And the president was so angry when he got to that space and was like, so what has happened here? So, you see, the issue is this. We have this problem. Mm. And the moment everybody knows that, you know, we're Kojorolo. And that was probably what Abba Kyari thought. You know, when things happen, we do bravado, and then we try to bully our ways through everything, and that's where it ends. Mm. Mm. But, of course, it's not the same. Yeah. With Americans, it's not going to be the same.
Like a friend said to me.
I don't know what.
Go ahead, Chola.
I'm not in his head right now, but I don't know what the Honorable Minister of Sport, Sunday Dare, is thinking at the moment.
He should be actioning, shouldn't he?
And that was his action.
Sorry, let Chola finish.
The right thing for him to do or to have done is just to, like, you know, organize a press conference when he came back from Tokyo, you know, and address the issue, address, you know, gentlemen of the press, and, you know, trash out the issue and say his own side of the story. But he hasn't done that. You know, then keeping quiet, I think, is like, you know, admitting to the guilt or...
Of course, silence means consent. Out.
Yeah. Silence means consent.
It keeps quiet, but he's using propaganda in the process while he's quiet.
He cannot work. Your propaganda cannot work.
Something has blown up in our face. They're using propaganda.
They're sending out write-offs and what have you. Shall I, you know what I'm talking about? They're sending out write-offs and what have you.
They should stop doing this, owner of house and thief. Can we just, it's already blown out in the open. Stop, you can't manage something that has blown up in our faces now.
No, here we manage it.
What are we managing?
The carpet is actually very, the carpet is very high, as high as a house, a first level house, but we still hide it under the carpet.
Mm.
Yeah, the carpet is already, the things hidden under it are already, you know, is already, the carpet is floating already.
Wow. Wow.
And you know, the sad thing is the fact that, you know, the sporting giants, Puma itself, is waiting. I'm sure they are waiting for, you know, a definitive statement from the sports ministry and maybe the presidency. And I'll use this medium to appeal to the vice president of the country, Professor Yemi Oshibajo, who is, to some of us, we know it's forthright, but to just, you know, call the sports ministry and the leadership of the sports ministry, you know, to the presidency and talk to him and release a statement about it. Because the gentleman is just keeping quiet and everybody is just wondering, where is this gentleman?
Agree with you, Shola, there's an implication to some of these things that we may need to take a look at. And that's actually why this Olympic, you found out that the finishing line of a particular, you know, race had four Nigerians, one,
yeah, from different
Qatari
countries.
One an yeah. Italian, one, you know, from four different countries,
from
and they were all
countries,
Nigerians,
yes.
And they were the finalists.
Yeah. I think Ogode is representing Qatar.
Qatar.
Then
yeah.
Italy.
So you have one Italy. You have, and so
yeah.
The question here, and then one representing Japan or China or something. Now the issue here is this: why would this not happen? Because with the Puma, you know. In 2019, there was World Athletics Game in 2019, right? And in 2019, there were people who, like Ese Brume or so, who won, who won the medal. Apparently, this contract with Puma says, if you win gold, you will get $15,000. If you win silver, you get $5,000. If you win bronze, you get $3,000. Those were not given. Neither were they disclosed because of the non-disclosure agreement. So where is the money for that?
It has gone into somebody's carpet.
People had collected it. And if all that has happened now did not happen, the $15,000, $5,000, $3,000 to whoever has won a medal probably will still have gone the same way. But of course, now the contract is canceled, is terminated, so nothing comes in. So that means you see the implication on our sports people. And you want them to be dedicated and not to go away.
I'm going to go to the Olympics for 2 weeks. More for Jessica.
The guy that is watching one jersey like a one customer bank. The guy that is watching one jersey is actually I'm not mentioning anything. I'm just saying that it's not negative for the bank.
You know,
of course,
that one customer bank.
But what I'm saying in essence is you have just one jersey, and so you are servicing the jersey, and the guy is not even based in Nigeria anyway. He came to represent Nigeria. He's probably, I think he's based in the US or so. So, but the issue is this, it's such a shame. And then you want them to come and represent your country. So why wouldn't there be brain drain in every sector? Now today, you have about over 1,000 or so medical doctors, or 3,000 plus, taking a qualifying exams to go and work in the UK. And we come to complain about brain drain. Why wouldn't there be brain drain? You will always gravitate towards whatever, you know, appreciates you. Whatever you appreciate, you attract into your life. If you don't appreciate talent and what have you, they will move away from you. And that's the nation we have. We have a nation that actually kills its young ones and also mess up its talent.
I think, and on that note, we're going to close, but I'm going to say this. We also need to be able to, we also need to be responsible, each one of us. We are part of the whole. We cannot remove ourselves.
That, yes.
Yes, we are part of the whole. While I'm not saying that leadership doesn't have its role and it doesn't have its blame, we, the individuals, are part of the whole. And we've got to start demanding better. If we want better, and also acting
Absolutely.
Better, it starts with us. Thank you, Shola and Kenny. As usual, very, 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 very vibrant discussions. So we should be back again next week, Saturday at 10:30 a.m., talking about Nigeria and the stories that are trending in the newspapers. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
And you
too. Thanks, Yemi.
All right.
Thanks a bunch.
Bye.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.